Again, we'll begin in lesson number 4 in just a moment. If I say to you, the church in Humble loves the Astros. So it bought season tickets for 2018. The church in Humble loves. Well, what about those people? What?
Crazy.
You might have some debate in this audience. All right.
You're talking about two different categories. The church in Humble could be acting individually, but it is singular, so therefore that means it would come from the common fund, which is not right.
Church in Humble. What happens if I said the church was a group of people who was the Astros fan club in Humble?
You'd be wrong.
It's just a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say that church is a group of people who love the Astros, who have formed a club, okay, and they support the Astros.
I take back because you didn't say of Christ.
Yes, that's right. That's okay. That's okay. In our everyday talks, everyday language, church does have a religious significance to it. And as we've noted in the past lessons, that church is a people, a group of people. And in this instance, they love the Astros. Now, why the nature of these people, why would they love the Astros? Why do they choose to be this Astros fan club here in Humble? Why do they go out and buy season tickets? Why would they do that?
Because
they just live in the area. A lot of that happens. I grew up in Pittsburgh, or I grew up in, you know, New Orleans or whatever it is, or Dallas, okay, or in Texas. And its proximity is one of the reasons. What could be another reason why they've chosen, okay, to be part of that club that promotes the Astros?
Let me question price.
What?
Special price. They got a special price.
Oh, they do for Houston residents?
Okay.
You know,
they like baseball.
Maybe they like winners. This is their first year. Okay, everybody likes a winner. People ask me, who'd you vote for in an election or whatever? I said, well, the winner. All right. Or what team? The winner. That's a little off. But the point is, maybe they just like baseball because their kids had baseball and you go to baseball. Maybe it's tradition with the family. Traditions, interesting reason to choose. Okay. So there's a lot of things. Maybe people just like an outing. They want to be part of this fan club. A lot of things go into it, but the point is their nature. Yes, Ronnie.
Maybe they're friends and family.
Maybe they're friends and family, right. That's exactly right. Good point, Ronnie. So the nature of this club is to, what do they share together? They share this likeness for the Astros. So they've decided by free will, you know, to support the Astros. And they do it with their efforts and their time and their funds. See? And this organization they have, this group that supports the Astros here in Humble, has a treasury. Apparently it does, because it is going to buy tickets. That's what they do. Okay? So they have a goal and aim and a direction in what they've done. Now, if you ride past the stadium down there, you know, they have some huge pictures of the players, which we've done lately. And they've also got, you know, 2017 world champions. That's a big deal. What happens if they put up a sign, 2018 world champions?
Wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking? Like they're second now in a league. But they put this sign up, how can they achieve that goal? Effort, work, dedication. They're being committed to the club, so they're going to achieve that. But just because you put up a 2018 sign doesn't mean it happened or will happen, but hopeful thinking is part of it. But to achieve that goal, it takes effort. And they've committed on that team to try to achieve that goal in 2018. That's good. That's good. And same thing here with efforts and actions will be judged on how they finish the season, and in our life will be judged on how we have committed our in Christ relationships, okay? How committed we are to that team effort in the local church here. Now, in lesson number 4, that's what we're talking about, the nature, the aim, okay? What the type of relationship we have. And it says here, though, the phrase Church of Christ is a descriptive phrase. Church, which you just illustrated here with the fan club, of Christ, which Linda mentioned, is the important part in reference to our eternal life and where we're going to spend it and our efforts here. Now, to call a Church of Christ, say on the sign for doctrines and organization and practices, does that make it a Church of Christ? We travel and we're looking at different, we look at Bible.ca, you know, to see congregations in a certain area and their times and services and website and that sort of thing. But just because a sign's up out front, does that mean that those people inside that building, those Christians inside that building, have worked to have book, chapter, and verse, doctrine, organization, practices? Doesn't necessarily mean that. No, not necessarily, does it? So there's some discerning one has to do when you travel and who you worship with. Now we're not traveling anymore. We've moved or going to move to an area. These are the aspects and things you look for, isn't it? All right? Because after all, God's going to judge us individually, isn't he? We're not judged as a group. Individually for our commitment to the in Christ relationship we have. So let's remember that as we go through life. And just because a congregation is friendly and outgoing and has programs, does that make their in Christ relationship in Christ?
No.
Not necessarily, does it? Okay. So it's good to ask a few questions and observe and that sort of thing, because after all, if you're going to be part of a local congregation and commit to working and worshiping with that group, then there's things that should be open, should be available. And if someone has the truth, they shouldn't be afraid to share it. You know, what about this or that? Okay? I've always thought this, and you can, those sort of things. Yes, sir.
I think one thing individuals can be concerned about is following the money. That's an important part of what congregations do.
It seems to be that way, as Ennis was just saying, sometimes the funding and that sort of thing. But also you look at the class structure and how classes are done. That's the important part. And really that's the most important part, okay? But they're all works to be done. And works are some indicators of one's thinking on that. Now, duties and relationships. Duties and relationships. We're going to go a couple of them now in this lesson number 4. And the first one will be in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, the Good Samaritan. What made him good? I call him the Good Samaritan. What made him good?
His deeds.
His deeds. Okay. All right. His heart. He had a commitment that Jesus told him that he must have to inherit eternal life. And we can look into this Luke 10, verse 27-37. And this is going to deal with a neighbor relationship. And we talked about that before, but we'll go into it a little more. Now, how many questions are in this section? Do you see a question in verse 25? Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life and be with God eternally? Eternal life. That question. Now, what's the answer to that question? Oh, be good to people? Feed them? Well, let's see what the answer is. Jesus answers it in this couple of verses. Verse 25, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in law? How does it read to you? Verse 27, and he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now again, the question was, inherit eternal life, be with God eternally. And Jesus answers in 28, you have answered correctly, do this and you will live. Let's stop it right there. Is that enough? Is that enough from the words of Jesus? Love God, love your neighbor? Yes, okay. Now, relationships. Is he talking about loving God? That's a relationship, isn't it? He's talking about neighbor? Is that another relationship we have? Now, we're born into that relationship. From Adam on. Born into it. Now, to be a Christian, we're reborn, aren't we? See, into that relationship. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if you love God in the way this is stated, all His commandments and everything He wants you to do will follow.
Yes. That's exactly right. You'll be investigative. You'll be discerning. You'll look for those opportunities that serve God and His people. It's exactly what you do. It's you love the brethren here. What are you going to seek to do? Stay away from them? Not know anything about them? Don't know their names? Well, if you love the brethren, that shows care, doesn't it? Care and concern for their physical, yes. For their spiritual, of course. Please, spiritual. But those are things you look for. And good point. Good point about that. And that's a caring love, isn't it? All right. Now, and Jesus answered it in 28. Now, but 29 is interesting. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, justify himself. What's the problem? He's got a conscience bothered him. Maybe he hasn't done what he's supposed to do. So he wants to justify himself. And there's a lawyer. Lawyers are only good when you need them. Okay? And so he goes on to explain, okay, and who is my neighbor? And he says, there's some trouble. The man has a man has problems on the road. He's robbed. Priest passing by. Levite passing by. And a Samaritan passes by, but he stops. He stops. And how do the Jews view a Samaritan? Oh, not well. Not well. How does a Samaritan view a Jew? Not well. All right. And so, but the Samaritan is the one who stops and helps this man who was beaten and robbed on the road. Okay? So, when we get to, and he pays for him and helps. Now, and that's classic thing we think about when we think about who is my neighbor. Classically, we think about that. And that's good. But again, keep the commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. And so in verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a Christian? It's his neighbor, doesn't it? All right. To the man who fell in the robbers. And Jesus says, go and do the same. Hopefully he did that. Now, yes, sir. Yes. Okay. Could we run across that in a car accident? Right in front of us? Right? We can help. We can help. All right. Whether it's a call or help or knowing CPR or whatever it is, those courses are good to learn in this case. Now, so this is a relationship as a neighbor. As a neighbor. Now, if we're going to be a neighbor and help other people, do I need to be religious to do that?
No.
No. I've got to be a neighbor. Okay? So, if I'm at St. Jude's Cancer Hospital, you see the commercials all the time on the TV, all right? Can anybody be a part of that effort to help people? Yes. Okay? Anybody can. Atheists can. Anyone can. All right? Now, if they get together and they do that, that's how they form that St. Jude's or Cancer Society or whatever it is. Now, as a neighbor, we have responsibilities. God gave us those from the beginning. After all I mentioned before, you know, before we're in Christ, before we're saved, okay, where's the sins? What sins have we committed? Neighbor. Okay? So we're all created in the image of God. And God understands that. God made it that way. And He wants us to understand that completely. So those are things we need to think about. So I can't overstress the idea of neighbor relationships. And Luke 10 is good for that. Now, and we'll see that as we deal with issues between brethren and that sort of thing, getting mixed up sometimes on neighbor relationships and responsibilities and things that are in Christ responsibilities and obligations we have. Now, so that's that point. Now, here's another relationship we have. In Romans 13, 6 and 7. And what's that one? Government in it. Okay? Now, for because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, what relationship are we talking about now? As citizens, things that are earthly here, government, rule, men rule over you and that sort of thing. Government. Now, is government necessary? If you didn't, you'd have chaos. You really have chaos.
God thinks so. He's the one that sets them up.
That's right. Now, you know, there's some governments, boy, they may be brutal. They lock up people for saying amen, okay, out loud. Some, you know, cut off arms and legs and heads and, you know, and they're just brutal. But all those governments have some things in common, don't they? What do all governments have in common as rules? Live by duties that they have. Well, all of them are against murder. Now, whether they judge it correctly or not is one thing. All of them are against fraud. See, unfair treatment. They all got those basic kind of rules. So God has set up those just things within governments, okay, to deal with people. Now, there's injury to another person and that sort of thing. Those governments deal with that, okay, as a judicial process. And again, we mentioned taxes here and here. And of course, Jesus promoted paying taxes to Caesar because those are due Caesar. Now, so that's the relationship we have. As citizens, let me divert a little bit. If I allow cheating on my taxes, I take whatever it is. Wrong deductions on purpose to bring back more money in my pocket. Is that what God wants?
No.
though. Okay? So those relationships have an implication on our eternity, don't they? Because now we've got another obligation. So let's think about that. Now, can I form organizations to promote government? What organization would that be? Well, we have two big parties, don't we? Well, I'll put three. Okay. All right. Or four or five. Okay. In some countries, they have dozens. But you can work for political parties, can't you, to promote government? And we'll see, is that a work of in Christ relationship to promote governments and parties? And I said, no, it's not. All right, that's not a work that we have as Christians. Okay, individually, sure, we can do it, but not as a collective group. All right, some groups get into that, don't they? All right, now, so we can form those kind of relationships if we want to. And if you're a member of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, Independent Party, okay, and Communist Party, well, you do things, you have duties, don't you, to perform, because I have volunteered to be part of this party, to have this obligation and this duty, and you are obligated to do that. All right? Same thing within this local congregation. You've agreed to do those in Christ things together as we cooperate one with another. Now, all right, so that's another relationship. Now, number C, any questions? Good, appreciate it. All right. Number C, Ephesians chapter 4 and Proverbs 31. I'll just do Ephesians 4. And what does that say? 6:4. Okay. Now, 6:4 deals with the father training up his children. Children. Okay. Training, teaching his children. Now, is that an obligation of the father, the male, the parents? Yes. Okay. Now, that's a family relationship, isn't it? Now, again, how seriously should a father take this obligation? Well, if you become a father, it comes along with it, doesn't it? Sometimes kind of learn as you go. All right? But that's the idea, that if one is having difficulties in training children, teaching children, then there's others that you could ask, isn't there? Okay? Who have been successful, apparently, in their raising of children and teaching of children. Now, so it's a relationship that we have. Now, and all I can say is we voluntarily got into that, didn't we? All right, to have children. I guess I voluntarily got into grandchildren. And I appreciate that. This last week was all three of them. Now, so that's the parent relationship we have, a parent relationship. Now, what things can we teach a child? If we're a believing Christian, we can deal with those things, right? Because we were thinking of their eternity. But in that parent relationship, what can you teach your child?
Love God, love thy neighbor.
Yes. Can you teach them not to lie?
Oh, yeah.
Can you teach them not to covet someone else's property?
Oh, yeah.
Can you teach them to be respectful?
Yes. Can you teach them also by example?
By example. Example. Good point. Good point. Okay? Because they watch, don't they? I noticed that this last week. They watch a lot, and they hear everything. And so you have to be, shouldn't have to be careful, but it happens. Right, Keith? All right? So those are things in that parent relationship that we need to watch out for, but it's also a great relationship to be a parent or to take care and teach children, okay? Because they're going to grow up one day, and you know what? You were a child once. And look at you now sitting here as Christians, believers in Christ, learning understanding eternity and sacrifice, understanding love, okay, and all the different aspects of that. So remember that, okay, and the things that you deal with children. Now, teaching children is a good thing, but should congregations in Christ form colleges to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic? Should congregations like this one, a local church, have teaching of secular things? Or should we have in Christ things that we deal with as a collective together? Now, individuals, yes, individuals can do, you know, associate themselves with Cancer Society or political parties or with teaching programs, colleges. Yes, sir.
But can the Cancer Society use its money for general benevolence?
Well, that's an interesting point. If everyone heard Ronnie's point, that you go up to the Cancer Society and you say, you know, I need some money for my broken leg. I don't have any money to pay for the hospital. Okay? Well, no, no. Well, why don't you? You love people, don't you? You care about people. It's obvious. You care for people with cancer. Why don't you fix my broken leg? Pay for it. Or you can, it's a myriad of things you can think about here. Well, why wouldn't they?
They're not set up for that.
It's not in their charter. It's not the thing they've obligated themselves to do, is it? Okay? Committed themselves to do. So that goes into, too, a lot of things concerning what a local congregation can be involved with, isn't it? Okay? Because, this whole lesson is in Christ things, okay? Those things authorized and told to deal with Christ. Now, does that mean you hate people with broken legs? Okay? I mean, the cancer people have a real disdain for them? No, okay? It's just not what we do. We've joined a collective to do certain types of work for certain purposes, dedicated to do those sort of things. That's what we do. All right?
They might, in fact, try to find somebody that will help them out. Even though they can't, their organization doesn't have the money to take care of that, they still might have money.
And if there wasn't an organization to take care of a certain type of disease, or kind of new syndromes all the time, all right? What can individuals do? They form a group, can't they? Okay? With a treasury and some oversight. See? And you let stems from an individual had a problem in their family with their child or something like that. Okay? And work with that. So you can form that and you're free to do that. Yes?
Well, you know, there's a difference between what you were saying. Guy comes in with a broken leg to the Cancer Society. Can you give me some money to go get my broken? Or they have a major accident right out in front of the Cancer Society headquarters, and they bring the people in. Can you help us with this guy right now? You know, that's a completely different thing, you know. But that's them acting as individuals helping this guy out, not as...
Yeah, they walk into the front office there and accident out in front of the Cancer Society building. They're going to use their phones and efforts to call police or ambulances or medics or whatever it is to take care of them, all right? See, to help them out.
You might have people in there who are experienced in first aid, you know.
Sure. Individuals.
They're going to do that.
Okay.
That's not them acting as a Cancer Society.
That's correct. Now, and it's all kind of organizations. So I just wanted to make that point. Anything else about that? Okay? About those deals with children and teaching and... And a quick point. Do children or us, okay, is teaching necessary?
Yes.
Can I just throw you a book? I'll throw you the Bible, all right? But it's teaching, that's always God's plan. All these letters we have in the New Testament, can you classify them all teaching? Sure. All right? In written form. All to instruct. All to guide. In sound doctrine. So those are things that God recognizes in life. Yes, ma'am.
Even throwing them a Bible, they're still
Yes.
About how to correctly interpret what they're reading.
Yes. Everyone hear that? Okay. So Dawn made a good point about instructing and teaching, having a, I don't know if I used the word throw, maybe I didn't use that word, all right? But the point is, when we have this inspired words preserved for us through providence, and these are here for our teaching, for our correction, so that we can grow up to be people of Christ, okay, in Christ. Yes, sir. Well, you mentioned Old Testament. Old Testament was always a written word too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It certainly was in person at that time, but written word they put down for all generations to know, okay, and to learn from. All right. Now, in our next part D, Hebrews 13:15. Now, this is a relationship, okay, that we voluntarily be part of. And in this relationship is what kind of relationship? Could you say this is an in Christ relationship? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we're going to notice in these various verses that in Christ, of God, okay, is this part of it. And if we look at these, it says the duty is to offer praise through Christ. Praise through Christ. Now, and this is relationship to praise Christ that we've voluntarily been a part of. And this is a new birth that we've had. Now, in Hebrews 13:15, it says, Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips, to give thanks to his name. Sacrifice of praise to God, praise to God, praise to God. Okay? Honoring God. And if we look at these other relationships here that I mentioned here in Romans 16, let's see, let me get there a minute. Now, if we're noticing as we look at these in Romans 16, verse 3, we see it, Priscilla and Aquila. If Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, without error, has written this down. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Well, that's that relationship, isn't it? And the peculiar obligations of that in Christ relationships. Now, Priscilla and Aquila might have been fellow workers with Paul. What was Paul's profession? Made tents, didn't he? All right. Well, are we talking about that here? No. Okay. He's praising them, okay, honoring them by saying you've done your in Christ obligations and duties, okay, in accordance with those things that God has prescribed. And I, Paul, see that. I recognize that. Matter of fact, I'm going to write it down so others can see you as an example of that. And as we go through the list here, we can see in verse 9, Urbanus, and fellow worker in Christ. And this is my beloved, in Christ. And I would dare to say that these 26 names that he puts in this chapter are all things where God is praised. God is praised because of that relationship they have with Christ Jesus. All right? Now, and so I maybe have one more example. 9 and 12. 12 is a individual workers in the Lord. Workers in the Lord now. Workers in the Lord. What could they be doing to be workers in the Lord? What are these 26 people doing? What did Paul do? Teach. Be the example, like Herb said, right? Because those things can promote and exhibit things that Christ, who He is, and what He desires of each of us. So, be workers in the Lord. Be of Christ. Be sure to do those things that will not dishonor Christ. Okay? Now, that's another relationship we have. Let's see if I have anything else on that. Okay. So those are duties we have. Why do we want to form this relationship of praising God? Maybe that's too broad. What's our problem? What's our problem? Sin. Okay? We perform sin. Our problem is we need to be forgiven of it, don't we? Okay? Because we recognize eternal life with Christ will not be possible without forgiveness of sin, without the grace of God. So let's remember that as we voluntarily be part of this relationship to work and worship together here in this local congregation. All right. Any questions? All right. Local church in Christ. Now, basic relationships underlying the existence of local church. We saw in 1 Corinthians 1:2 that there's some basic relationships that we need to understand. And in those relationships, we have to have a relationship too. One with another and with Christ. Sometimes, as we mentioned before, there's horizontal relationships and there's vertical relationships. Relationship. All right? And we just the opening verses, Paul called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothesis, our brother, verse 2, to the church of God. Uh-oh. Doesn't say Church of Christ. Is that okay? Sure it is. Sure it is. Okay? It shows relationship. Which is at Corinth, a location, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now, sanctified and saints by calling. Right. Sanctified is what? Set apart. Okay? When you're in Christ's relationship, you set apart from the evil of the world. You make an effort with it, aren't you? Okay? Is your effort, your aim, your whole soul, okay? Trying to achieve that? Yes. Okay? So in relationships, you should try to stay out of relationships that would divert your attention, wouldn't you? From those things that hinder this in Christ relationship. Because you are called out to be different. To be different. Think differently. Act differently. But don't forget your neighbor relationships. Okay? And your relationships to brothers and sisters in Christ. All right. Same thing goes when we deal with the second part there. In Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, same idea. Of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Christ. And when we think about this relationship here, I'm a person, I'm sanctified. Sometimes you might call this a word of qualifier. It qualifies you to be that in what you are and what you want to be. So these are things of dedication, things of the mind, things of actions of the body. So that has to all coordinate to be in Christ. Now, let's see. In 2C, this is why called churches of Christ, Romans 16, because again, churches of Christ, okay? Churches of people. Well, what about these people? Are they a mob? Are they a town council? No. They're of Christ. Again, something you voluntarily wanted to do. Now, in the last part there, it's a little review on that, the idea of churches. And when we look at Acts 7:38, the church in the wilderness, the congregation in the wilderness, still both good words, okay? King James, New King James call it church. Just people. People is a church. Okay? And in when they were in the wilderness, what was their duty? To whom?
God.
But it was to Moses, okay, because Moses was leading them, okay? And they trusted him. And so to follow Moses in that. Now, and then in 1932, there's a mob there just showing the idea the word church is a church, okay, is just people. And then there was a lawful assembly, a civic duty in 39 and 41. So that's just because, so church in their days, which I started off and illustrated with the Astros, church is just people. And you have to have some qualifiers on it. So what kind of people? What's their aim? What's their thoughts? What are the things that they dedicated themselves to? All right, their duties to one another. So, and I mentioned before, like for Matt, that if you get to, you don't have to get in a big hassle with people about the word church or just people. It's not this or that, okay? It's not a general thing about people. You have to have qualifiers. But certain things to deal with in our speech to others. And as Dawn mentioned one time, when she deals with that in speech to people, they notice that. And if that causes an inquiry, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to calmly and reasonably deal with what is truth and how you can get to the point of salvation through the blood of Christ. Now, in our part three, authority for church work. And we just mentioned 1 Corinthians 1:2 that they're sanctified as saints by calling. Now, that's a collective of people who have said, I want to be in Christ. I want to do the things in Christ, in Corinth. So there's a unit of the collective. Okay, and they said they want to be part of that collective because it says in Corinth, just like in Humble here. And these people who have committed to Christ, they've committed to sharing themselves with other people called fellowship. All right? And that's what God's aim is for a local church to be in fellowship. All right? And again, they're acting together for the purpose of the collecting. So they're here, they're together. Now they're going to act together in 1 Corinthians 11:17 and Philippians 1:27. And I'll start there, I guess, next time. And we'll continue with C and that. Appreciate your efforts. Thank you for being here today.